It was just a conversation between a father and a daughter. My daughter Meg was filling me in about tensions that have just arisen at work after a key employee had been fired. The dismissal had resulted in strained relationships among the small number of employees, and Meg was trying to work through her own feelings and how those might affect her behavior. In other words, she wanted to be an agent of peace in the midst of all of this turmoil. Now, let me back up a bit. This conversation would never have occurred between us 15 years ago. When Meg was in high school, she and I had a rather contentious and volatile relationship, perhaps not unlike many fathers and daughters. And I finally decided that a relationship with my daughter was far more important to me than trying to debate who was right and who was wrong, trying to force a behavioral change in another person. So I changed my behavior, modeled a different way of approaching her. And through that modeling, our relationship began to change. And today is strong. Well, as I listened to Meg this week, I became aware that some of the words she used were ones I had used for her back in those days. The behaviors she was trying to adopt were ones that I had modeled. And I think it's a seminal moment in every parent's life when you realize that your children imitate you in what they say and what they do. Now, sometimes, like this past week for me, it's a rewarding experience full of joy. But it can also become a sobering reflection when our children mimic our not so positive behaviors and attitudes. And it's at moments like these that we realize, whether we like it or not, each one of us is a role model and carries with us responsibilities for our actions. We may be individuals, but we do not, cannot, and will not ever live in a vacuum. The reality of being human, you see, is that you and I are creatures of conformity. We are inherently imitators of the world around us. Imitation is how we learn to be human at every level. We learn to speak by imitating our parents. We learn to walk by watching our older siblings. Later in life, we create our own unique identity by imitating our friends in high school or college, and then following our particular clique into our workplace. Finally, we set certain people in our profession on a pedestal and mimic their movements or use them as examples of what we don't want to be. And of course, whether we'll admit it to it or not, we also imitate our spouse or our loved ones. Now, many of these things we conform to are innocent, such as a New England drawl or the way that one holds a fork. But others have lasting ramifications. Our work ethic, our attitude to our spouse and children, the way we treat our friends, and even our church membership, attendance, and behavior are things we pick up from others. Even real nasty things, such as some sinful habits or a heart of discontent and cruelty, can be the product of bad conformity to someone around us. The long and the short of it is, we are what we imitate. Each of us is a mosaic of influences resembling many people in our past and present. And we conform to images of others, and others right now are conforming to us. Now, all of that said, it seems to me this is precisely the understanding that Paul wants to convey to us this morning in his words to the Philippians when he writes, Brothers and sisters, join me in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. What Paul is telling the Philippians and what he's telling us is simply this. You're going to copy. You're going to mimic someone's footsteps and mirror someone's movements when it comes to learning what it means to live this Christian life. So if you're going to imitate somebody, go ahead. Imitate me. Follow me. Because I do my best to follow Christ. So with Paul's admonition before us, the question for us is, how well does each of us imitate the one who gives us life? For 6 years now, my brother sets aside every Friday morning to babysit his grandkids. And one of the highlights of his day is to read to them as they sit on the floor and lean up against it. One of their favorite books that they have to read almost every day, or every Friday, is The Runaway Bunny by Margaret Wise Brown. And the story tells of a little bunny who decides to run away from home. And his mother tells him that wherever he goes, she's going to follow him. And when he says that he will become a fish and swim away, she tells him that she'll become a fisherman and catch him. And when he says that he'll be a goat on a tall mountaintop, she says that she will become a mountain climber and climb up to him. And after several similar episodes, the little bunny finally gives up and says, "Ah, shucks, I might as well stay at home and be your little bunny." And the story ends with his mom giving him a hug and saying, "Here, have a carrot." Now, in reading that story, my brother conveys to his grandkids that he'll always be there for them, no matter where they go. And as they absorb the story and feel the security of snuggling up to Grandpa Gogo, they may well learn to be like Mother Bunny when they indeed have children of their own. And isn't that the way of imitation? And all of this begs a few questions for us this morning as we face our Lenten journeys. First, who are you imitating? From whom are you learning what it means to live as a person of faith in this messed up world? Is it your spouse, a friend, a colleague, a family member, someone in church, a well-known personality? Who is it that you imitate? But here's perhaps a more difficult question. Who's imitating you? If you have children, this is an easy one to answer, but your sphere of influence extends well beyond the home. Who in your life knows that you're a Christian, knows of your faith, and thereby whose understanding of faith is influenced by your words, by your actions, by your attitudes? Who is learning to live from you? And that's a scary one to wrestle with, isn't it? The scriptures tell us that as we imitate the likes of Paul, we learn from the faith and life of our baptized brothers around us that the end result isn't a bunch of little Christian clones, but a community of people, all of whom are trying to imitate the one who gives us life, Jesus the Christ. In his incarnation and earthly ministry, Jesus, in his living and breathing, in his walking and talking, in his healing and loving and perfect commandment keeping, becomes our example. He demonstrates for the world what it means to be fully human, and yet to be right with God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and completely in step with the rhythms and patterns of life in our created world. In his letter to the Romans, Paul tells us that all those who are baptized have embarked on a lifelong journey of being conformed to the image of Jesus. And we celebrated that here last Sunday with the baptism of Ever Grace McHugh. What a beautiful name, Ever Grace. And isn't that what we are called to be in our baptism? Ever full of grace. A grace that we convey to those around us. We are in Lent. Lent is a time to reflect on who we imitate and who imitates us. So it's a time to reflect on who God is and what God has revealed to us in Jesus. We are in Lent, and it's a time to for us to reflect on Jesus, who is our example. He has shown us the great love of God that reconciles us to one another and to God and has restored us to newness of life. It's a time for us to reflect and let this person become our model and for us to find ways to imitate his life and his love. God has restored each one of us to new life. And what Lent challenges us to do is to go and do the same. Imitating Jesus and bringing the gospel of compassion and forgiveness out into the world. That we may become bearers of peace and new life. That others may imitate us as we imitate the one who gives us life. And that ultimately we might give and bring peace to a world that so desperately needs the healing power of God's love. May God bless each of you on your Lenten journeys. Amen.